I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good program. I hope somebody recorded that. That was a good commercial. Brother Bill summarized things pretty well, I thought. And I hope that in this hour and during worship and then the lunchtime afterwards that we can reinforce some of the things he said and help get some of you reacquainted with Know Your Bible and some of you acquainted with it for the first time. The schedule today, as I understand it, is after worship, having a lunch, and I think a few folks have been invited that are workers or anybody interested in Know Your Bible, and that'll be more of a Q&A kind of session where we'll just talk about anything that you guys want to and discuss your work in Know Your Bible. Today in class, what I'd like to do is just kind of give you a history, because I know a lot of you are new to Watermill since Know Your Bible started here, and a lot of you probably don't even know anything about it. Most of you are in here during the time that it's on TV, so you don't watch it or know about it unless you get sick and stumble onto it. So let me just kind of give you a little history and update, and probably have some time for questions at the end if I go fast enough here. So let's kind of start way back in the beginning, about 1981, really. And Bill mentioned Brother Wayne Williams is here. Where'd Wayne moved on me? He was on the other side a minute ago. Got over here with the sheep. Wayne Williams right down here. Those of you that don't know Wayne, I call him the godfather of Know Your Bible. He was an elder at Northside in Wichita back in about 81. You'd have been about 60 then, Wayne. Can you believe it? You remember when you were 60? Anyhow, Wayne took a trip to California to visit a relative in San Diego and came back and said, they've got a TV program out there that we got to do. They got a program called Know Your Bible, and they answer questions, and they take questions on people call in, and they answer them, and then they advertise a correspondence course, and they're just having great results. So Wayne's a pretty good salesman, so he convinced us that, yeah, we ought to consider that. First thing we did was went to the TV stations. Now, some of you youngsters will not even understand what I'm going to tell you now. Back then, there were three TV channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that was it. That was your TV. So there were three channels on TV, and Sunday mornings were basically booked solid with religious TV programs. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and lots of famous and lots of infamous ones. And they had the morning pretty well booked up. So we went to all three channels in Wichita and said we'd like a half hour. And they said, we'll put you on the list, and if anything ever comes open, we'll call you. You couldn't get on TV Sunday mornings. Those of you that ever turn on the TV on Sunday mornings now know that it is mostly infomercials for all kinds of exercise machines or diet products or anything else. There's a few religious TV programs still left, but you can find anything and everything on TV now, and it's a whole different economic situation. It's basically sold by whoever will pay the most for a half hour can have that half hour. So way different. But anyhow, that was 1981, so we put some money in the budget for Know Your Bible and thought, well, we'll get a time here pretty soon. 82, we put some money in the budget and thought, well, we'll get a time pretty soon. 83, we put some money in the budget. 84, 85. 1986, we finally said, we're never going to get a time on TV. So we took the money out of the budget and spent it for something else. And about June of 1986, NBC channel in Wichita called and said, we got a half hour slot. We didn't know what to do. We didn't have any money. We'd kind of not talked about Know Your Bible for a long time. So we had a meeting and discussed it. And we talked to the congregation about some, and sat down, the elders and a bunch of men talked about it. And to be honest, it was kind of a split audience. Some folks said, well, we hadn't got that much money. I mean, this was going to be $40,000 or so for a year. We didn't have that much money. And so some people said, well, if we can raise the money, then we can take the half hour. Let's go to all the churches in Kansas and tell them we need some money for this, and if we get it, then we'll put the program on. Our elders operated by faith that day. They said, we think this is a good thing, and we think the Lord wants us to do it, and we think He'll take care of it. So we went the next Sunday before the congregation and said, we need $40,000 to get started, and we don't have it in the budget. Elders are going to sign the contract, give us some money, pledge some money, let's see what happens. Next Sunday, we took over $52,000 in addition to everything else that we were doing at Northside. The elders had already signed the contract, and at that point, we had to figure out how to do a TV program. So that was really crazy, but we did it. We got help from San Diego, stole all of their graphics, all of their correspondence courses, everything they did, their format. And on July the 13th, we went on the air for the first time. We thought it was pretty classy. Now, you watch those tapes today, and it was really pitiful. In fact, that's one guaranteed laugh I can always get at Northside. If I show a tape of that first program or two, they think it's hilarious. Well, I think it's hilarious, actually. We look a little different back then. But we got it done and got started and immediately started seeing what this program could do. People watch it. The philosophy of it is not to do a whole lot of teaching. It's a different program than many church programs. It's not a sermon. It's not a worship service. As folks in San Diego explained it to us, the questions and answers are grist for the mill. It just keeps things going and gets people interested. Somebody that's sitting there waiting for the NFL game to start and is clicking through the channels will hear a question that maybe appeals to them. And if it does, maybe they'll stop and listen. Our theory is if we talk about it for 20 minutes, they're going to stop listening. Unless they're real hardcore church folks. But if it's a two-minute answer or a two-and-a-half-minute answer and it moves quick and it goes to another question that's kind of interesting, maybe they'll stay watching. And if they watch enough weeks, they'll finally figure out that, hey, these guys never ask for money. This is a really strange religious TV program. We get that mentioned more than probably any other public comment from people. And if they stay watching long enough, they'll get see the offer every week over and over to take a Bible study course. And once they've got some trust in us and some faith in us, they'll call, or today they log on the website and request that course and get the course. So that's the philosophy of the program, that the courses do the teaching, the follow-up by whoever delivers the certificate or comes in contact with that person does the teaching. It's how we've designed it from the start. So in 86 we started, we covered most of Kansas. If you've got the little handout, if not you get one later, there's a map on there. We covered basically all of Kansas except the northeast corner. And we rolled along pretty good. Our goal, one of the things we stated when we started, Bill mentioned this, this is not just about Northside. Our plan was, and our stated goal was, we want to be a help to every congregation in the viewing area. We want this to be their program. so we worked at that. We'd make people little business cards with, we'd put their church name in it. And they could hand it out and say, "This, my church puts this program on." And we wanted them to feel like it was their program in Dodge City or Pratt or Ulysses or wherever it was being watched in Kansas. So that was how we started. In 1998, our elder, Wayne Williams, had left Kansas and come to your area. Moved to Shell Knob, and he missed the program, I guess, so he set out to try to find a station down here to get the program on. And he finally found one here in Springfield and called us and said, "I've got a spot for you. All you got to do is pay for it." You know, it's kind of the way Wayne operates, is he comes up with these good ideas and expects the Lord to pay for it. So the Lord did. We had some fairly sizable gifts around that time, and we went on the air here in October of 1998, and then started looking for a church to help do the what we call the partner work here, answer the phones, send out the correspondence courses, follow up on them, all of that. And Watermill, or North National actually, agreed to do that. So that's how we got into this market. In 2001, we again had some generous donations and had a little more money than we had spent, so we looked for another place to go. That's kind of how we've operated for 30 years, is kind of just barely stay in the black, and some years a little in the red, but if we get some extra, we'll figure the Lord's telling us to go somewhere else. So 2001, we began broadcasting from Rock Island, Illinois. Covers part of Illinois and southeastern Iowa. And in 2011, we moved into Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which covers part of South Dakota and part of Minnesota and down into Iowa a little bit. Very different field than we've been in before. South Dakota is a extreme mission field. Churches few and far between, and they have an amazing attitude about Know Your Bible. They really, really utilize it, kind of like we dreamed at the start, that every church thinks this is their program. So anyhow, it's doing well up there. Total, how many people watch it, we really don't know. The ratings system on Sunday morning is basically worthless. They don't really do much rating, since it's all infomercial kind of stuff. We get a few ratings that tell us it's the highest rated religious program on, and every place it's on. It's available to about 1.5 million households. 1.5 million households. Now, obviously, not every house has their TV on, and those that do don't have it tuned to Know Your Bible. But there's a whole lot of potential folks out there watching it, and a lot of folks do watch it, we know. Some changes that have taken place, and I'm just trying to give you some highlights here of the program, is it's become much more internet-focused in the responses than it was. When we started, we had 3 telephone lines in the office, and we had 3 operators sitting there, and from 10 o'clock till 10:30, the phone would ring. After that, the phone didn't ring. Now, people have gotten so used to it that the phone rings 24 hours a day. We get a lot of messages and voicemails in the middle of the night even. But a lot more people go to the web. We started putting on the screen not only the 800 number, but knowyourbible.com, and people go to that. We get a lot of our questions there. We get a lot of our requests for Bible correspondence course on the internet. The good thing about that is that it goes a lot more places somehow. And we don't know how it goes some of the places it goes. One of our theories is that the Springfield market helps it go a lot of places. Because we're seeing in this area, in Branson, and I don't know if you knew it or not, but a whole lot of different folks go through Branson. So today, Northside handles Babel correspondence courses in 48 states and at least 29 foreign countries. We don't know how they got a hold of it. We don't know where they found out about it, whether it was traveling through Branson and watching TV on Sunday morning in the motel or what, but it goes a lot of places. Of course, you can also, if you happen to be Googling for Bible knowledge or something like that, you'll find the Know Your Bible website and can apply for a correspondence course there. So, doing a lot more response on the internet. Phone doesn't ring so much anymore. We've cut down to a couple operators, and most of the time only one of them gets many calls. Doesn't roll over to the second one very often, because people just don't do that anymore. But lots of folks come in on the internet, lots of questions too. Funding, let me talk about that just a little bit. We do put all the details in the little annual handout if you want to know where every penny goes and comes from. Our philosophy on funding from the start has been that we're not going to make this a typical religious TV program where we ask for money all the time. We never ask for money on the program. We raise the bulk of the money one time a year at Northside. We have a Know Your Bible Sunday, which this handout's from. We did it a couple weeks ago. And we basically, my slogan for it is, we report, you decide. We report on what the program's done, what's happening, where it is, how it's doing, and we let Northside decide if they want to support it for another year. I tell them, as soon as you stop supporting it, the program's over. So far, they've decided to support it very generously, very sacrificially, and that's where the bulk of the support comes from. Somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters, usually, of the total budget comes there. We also have supporting congregations. A number of them have been with us since the very start. Watermill's been helping support us for almost all of the 18 years it's been on here. So lots of different congregations send us some money because they believe the program does a good job. We've gotten, trying to think of how to say this, depends on the years, we get more or less of this, but we get a pretty good contribution on memorials. A lot of people, especially at Northside, have started making Know Your Bible a memorial for a loved one who dies, instead of sending flowers or giving to the Cancer Society or something like that, they put Know Your Bible in the paper, and we get pretty good contribution from that. If you look at this year's number, it was a lot higher than normal because one fellow at Northside passed away and his three children knew how much he and his wife liked Know Your Bible, so they gave actually half of their inheritance to Know Your Bible. He wasn't a rich man, but they gave a pretty sizable bit of money to Know Your Bible. So memorials bring in quite a bit. So that's where the money comes from. And we can tell you who wrote the check, but we know where the money really comes from. And he's taken care of us for 30-some years. Future of the program, and I'll quit here in just a second, let you ask some questions. The future, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but the program's going to have to change somehow. We're going to have to do a few things different. Broadcast TV is changing already. You young people know that a lot more than we older ones. Young folks don't watch broadcast TV, certainly real time. They don't sit there on Sunday morning and watch from 10 to 10:30. They watch what they want, when they want, on what they want. It's basically how the world is changing. And admittedly, we've still got a huge audience of people that are shut in, and I'll mention that more during worship, but folks that kind of think of Know Your Bible as their church, and because they can't get out and go to church. So we got a big audience there, but as far as people just sitting down on Sunday morning and tuning in, that's going to go away pretty soon. It won't happen so much. So exactly how we deal with that and how we get more internet-based or social media somehow or something, we've got a lot of thinking to do there. It's going to have to be a lot more user-friendly than the old style of sitting down and watching it Sunday morning. In fact, back then you probably had to get up and walk over to the TV to change channels. I don't know if that was that late or not. Heard somebody say the other day, they were telling their kids how tough they had it when they were young. Said they had to walk 15 feet through shag carpet to change the channel. Anyhow, things are changing. They're going to change somehow on us. Let me close this little part with some of the things we've learned at Northside. And there have been a number of other congregations that have learned these things. I know you've learned some of them here at Watermill. Probably the biggest thing we learned is that God blesses faith. We took that initial step, the elders did, totally on faith. The money that we needed then doesn't seem like a whole lot today, but in today's dollars, I figured it up once, it's like $250,000 one Sunday contribution. That's what we were taking the leap of faith on. And God's blessed it. Northside back then was 250, 300 maybe, something like that. It's between 700 and 800 now. I had a list of all the programs that we've started and been able to do in the 30 years. I couldn't tell you how we were able to start all those and do all those, except that God blessed us. We took a step of faith, and He's been blessing us ever since. Not only we learned that God blesses faith, we learned a whole lot about giving. That first Sunday was really an amazing thing. It's hard to remember today how amazing it was, how big that gift was. And I knew a lot of the people that did it and how sacrificial it was that they did. They believed in the program and made commitments that they didn't know how they was going to keep. But what they've learned over 30 years is they never missed that money. They gave, and it was given unto them. Some of them are still some of the best, most generous contributors to Know Your Bible and everything else that's come along since then. So that principle of giving, and it'll be given unto you, we learned that. It really does work. It's not always a matter of black and white, profit and loss on the sheet. God's got a place in there on the giving thing. The other thing we learned is that it's good to put people to work, and the more people you got working, the more harmonious things are. And Know Your Bible provides a lot of work for a lot of folks. I hadn't asked you, I don't know how many graders you've got around here. We've got around 50 or a little over 50, I think. folks that make the, every time they're at the building, they go to the Know Your Bible Room and get their lessons and fill them out and respond to their students. We've got folks that rotate through the phone operating business and do that. We got a lot of folks doing a lot of things for Know Your Bible. And it's a great place to get new members and people that don't have some other big skill to get them involved in. And the people that work in it get involved with the lost. That's the cool thing about it. They're writing notes back and forth to them. They're talking to them on their phone. They're finding out what the real world is like out there. So we've been blessed by putting people to work and Know Your Bible. Okay, as far as results and a bunch of that, I'm going to cover that during the worship service, but that's kind of an overview of Know Your Bible. Hopefully that introduces you to it. So have I stirred any big questions, anything you wonder about? Any little questions? Bill.
Hey, would you explain how you guys choose out of all the questions you get? How do you choose the questions?
Okay, the process of what goes on the TV show, we get, like I said, bunches of questions, and believe it or not, every week we still get questions that we've never got before. Often I'll sit down and read what we got that week, and I'll look at one, and I'll say, man, we have never had that one. Of course, obviously, we get a lot over and over. Where did Cain get his wife? Probably number one question. What about cremation? Probably number two question. Those kind of things you obviously can't put on every time you get them. So when we get ready to tape, I take all of the questions that we've gotten in the past few weeks, few months, however long it's been, and make up a script. And yeah, I put in Cain's wife every 4 months, maybe, something like that, but not every week. So I make a script, and the script basically has some interesting, sometimes even goofy questions. But people ask. Did I hear something? That's a scary guy. Anyhow, we've put in some that aren't that important, if you will. And then we always put in a couple that are basic doctrinal salvation kind of issues. So a good mix there that keeps people interested. Usually the heavier ones, what do I need to do to be saved, or do you believe in once saved, always saved, or those kind of things are in the middle somewhere, 10 minutes in or 15 minutes in, a little less important ones on the edges, but anyhow, I make up the scripts and that's what we go by. So try to keep them mixed up well and interesting and not do the same ones over and over and over again. Okay, I retired from the pulpit in January, so I don't preach every week anymore. I still preach a few times a year, but basically I'm out of that, semi-retired, repurposed is what we call it, and I'm got basically all my time to work on Know Your Bible. So I'm the one that's got to kind of try to figure out what are we going to do different in the future. But I do all the scripts, all the dealing with TV stations and all that on the program. Toby Levering, who replaced me in the pulpit, is on the program now, and we're just the two of us. We started with three, me and my dad and a guy named David Lawrence, who left pretty soon to go to David Lipscomb, and then Dale Oakley, many of you know, replaced him and was with us for the bulk of it. And Dale retired a couple of years ago, and Toby came on full time. And when Dale stepped down, we decided we'd try two, and we kind of like it. I don't know, nobody's ever told me they didn't like it, A lot of people tell me they miss Bill or miss Lewis, but to me it keeps things moving a little better because you've got to be ready for your next question and all that. When there's three, you kind of, you let the other two go and you kind of not paying attention almost. I just think two works better. So that's what we're doing now. So me and Toby are on there, yeah, that's that answer. Okay, yes, sir.
Certain events probably drive a lot of questions, but it's hard to say that you can't really correspond something biblical with the current event because it seems like it's the same question. But I'm sure that this.
Yeah. Yeah, current events are a little tricky because, number one, of our lag time, we have to put closed captioning on, and it takes a while. We tape, in fact, we're going to tape Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We'll tape three shows each time, so there'll be six shows taped this week. And then we send those master tapes to South Carolina, actually, where they put closed captioning on it, and then they make copies and send to all the different broadcast markets that we've got. So we got to build in a month or two at least in there to get all that done. So the stuff we tape Tuesday won't be on until February probably. So it's a little tricky to do current event stuff. The ones we get on the internet or even the ones that call in and leave an address, we correspond directly. So on Mondays I get mostly on Mondays, get a few during the week, but I get all the questions, and if they ask a current event, I'll either send them a letter or respond in email this week. Last week, I got one that said they'd been watching TV, and some preacher said that Trump and Pence were the seventh trumpet, and the end was near. So, yeah, we get current event questions. Yeah, we get a few comments. Not too many real harsh, but people pick on us every once in a while about things. But, yeah, we do get some current event questions. You're probably wondering how I answered that, aren't you? I gave him 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with the shout of the archangel and the trump of the Lord. Okay, I think we've been dinged twice, so I'll let you go and we'll some things later.